Hello, it is June 11th, 2014. This is episode 431 of the Will Leach Experience podcast on Sports on Earth. Today's death, John Wayne, who died June 11th, 1979. Born Marion Morrison in Winterset, Iowa, John Wayne's dad moved to California when he was three. Wayne was a football star who attended Southern California on a football scholarship, but he lost it and left school after he broke his collarbone in a body surfing accident. He began working in the prop department for Fox Studios and was spotted by a director and almost immediately put in lead roles of B-Westerns, most of which flopped until John Ford's Stagecoach made him the biggest star in the world. He tried to enlist in World War II, but the studios wouldn't allow him, something he claimed to be the biggest regret of his life. His best film is probably Ford's The Searchers, though he won an Oscar for True Grit. It is estimated that he played the lead in 142 different movies. He began wearing a hairpiece at 40 years old. He also smoked 6 packs of cigarettes a day, and he died of stomach cancer at the UCLA Medical Center, whose cancer ward is now named after him, at the age of 72. Here in Athens, though, it is merely Wednesday. I'm Will Leach, and I thank you for spending part of your day with me. We wrap up World Cup week with, honestly, an interview with my version of John Wayne, the man who most stands for American masculinity and swagger and virility, Mr. David Hershey. David Hershey is the soccer writer for ESPN and senior vice president and executive editor at HarperCollins Publishers. He's also a publisher of my book, God Save the Fan, and one of my favorite people, and I would honestly consider one of my closest friends in the world. So I'm delighted to have David on to talk soccer with me. I was talking to my wife the other day about the things that I miss most about New York City, and honestly, David Hershey was in the top 15. So I'm really excited to talk to him. So here's me and David previewing the World Cup in our final podcast of the week. David, thank you for coming on. It is a delight to have you on. You're the source of all things soccer for so long. So now to have you here, I miss you so much. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm shocked that you even know there's a World Cup going on.
I've come a long way.
Yeah, but I mean, aren't you up? Aren't you just obsessed with the Cardinals' winter season or not?
They're swooning. They're swooning right now. So I'm. Making me upset. But no, I'm into it, man. Listen, think about the Will Leach you knew 8 years ago when you're writing these World Cup things for Deadspin, and I'm just like, okay, now what's a ball? Like, you know, I just didn't know anything of what you were writing about. Now, that Donovan piece, I specifically sent that to you to see if you'd be proud of me for actually having some idea what I was talking about.
I'm proud of you. I saw that you weighed in on the Landon Donovan controversy. And,
I know, and I couldn't have even, I don't know, I mean, I would have recognized Donovan's name 8 years ago, but that would have been about it. So, like, I've been studying, I'm trying to make sure that I have your respect, at least in this regard. So,
well, you have my respect in all other ways.
Oh, stop. Please, continue.
Yeah, you're a very good father and husband, from what I hear.
From several people, we were
partially responsible, Will, I don't know if you know this, for the nickname Landy Cakes, which I'm embarrassed about, because it was such a cheap shot. But of course, back then, that's what Deadspin used to do. So
before it became respectable like it is now.
Yeah, exactly. So
back when it was constantly chaotic. Okay, so let's talk about Donovan. Okay, because we're gonna get him out of the way, and then we can actually talk about this stuff. Because you're right. Landy Cakes is yours, and I've actually talked to you about this. What do you think? Were you annoyed that he wasn't on the team? Are you happy? Do you think it was the right decision? What do you think?
Well, no, I was initially annoyed because I think he's, as most do, the best player technically the best player we ever produced. But of course, I'm not privy to what goes on in camp and the obvious personality clash with Klinsmann. I think there's a lot to do with the different Teutonic temperament that Klinsmann brings to it, and Landon, sort of laid back California surfer dude. I think it was a mistake because he's the kind of guy that could come off the bench for 20 minutes and change a game. But I certainly understand what Klinsmann's thinking, and that is that he's looking to change the culture of American soccer, and he's not going to do it with guys who were past their glory days. I think he feels that's the case with Landon, even though even though the rest of America remembers him from scoring the last second goal against Algeria. Here's the thing about Klinsmann. I think he's a breath of fresh air compared to his buttoned down predecessors, Bob Bradley and Bruce Arena. He's not afraid to be controversial and get pissed off in public, and he has no time for players who need to be coddled. And, you know, as much as I admire Donovan, he is one of those. He took a four-month sabbatical or vision quest or walkabout, whatever you want to call it,
yes,
from the game. Because he felt burned out after playing for 15 years. I feel burned out every day of my life, but I come to my job.
Right.
Yeah, and so that's just the mentality that I'm sure Klinsmann felt was just so alien to him. What kind of guy, goes off to Cambodia and just walks around barefoot trying to find himself? So I think that's, in the end, I think it came down to that Donovan did not have quite the mentality that Klinsmann wants to instill in his team. And also, Landon, I guess, told him that, because my body is so fragile, I can't train hard, every day. And this is all stuff that I guess Klinsmann decided that's not what I'm trying to do here with the new new American soccer mentality. So that's my and there's, I guess the cliche is that you bring the best team, not necessarily the best players. And you can see that not only in the United States. Argentina left out Carlos Tevez, who lit up Serie A in Italy, and Didier Deschamps in France left out Sami Nasri, that former Arsenal weasel who led Man City to the championship in England. In those two cases, I think they are more malcontents than Donovan. I think in Donovan's case, it's just a difference of philosophy.
But the analogy I made in my piece, because for me, for some reason, Americans seem to be treating Donovan like he's Jordan. In the world, because to us he is, because he's the best American soccer player of all time. But the analogy I used was that. That's basically like the same way that he's the best American soccer player of all time, the same way that Jeff Conine is the best Florida Marlin of all time. And that to say that in our small little circle, like, oh yeah, he's a huge deal. But like Klinsmann, it looks to me, looks at Donovan and says, dude, you're not even one of the top 100 players, top 200 players. Like, where do you get with this superstar? I have to go on a walkabout to figure out who I am. Globally speaking, you're not a superstar. Only in this country are you a superstar, and that's exactly the mindset I'm trying to change.
Right.
Is that correct? You think that's
good way
to look at it?
That is correct, except that I can rebut it by saying he took – 6 or 7 players who I don't think are as good as Donovan, but they're younger and they're fitter and they're hungrier. So maybe that's enough.
Should we trust Klinsmann in your, as someone that's followed, that's don't follow Klinsmann for a long time? Should we, apparently we put this overarching 100% faith in him. Should we do that?
Well, I think we'll see. Because my feeling is, he looked at the draw way back in December and went, oh, damn, we don't have a chance to get out of this group. I might as well blood some youngsters. Now, you don't just toss away an opportunity to advance in the World Cup. I don't know if that's the case, but I think his planning has always been, he's always been in it for the long game. He sees, That's why he got an 8-year contract, because you can't change the culture of American soccer in 4 years. It's just not going to happen.
Can
maybe
you change
some
it
of these
eight?
Young
like can you like how do you do
so.
It? Like do you have to like
I, well, you've got to start at the grassroots level.
I mean, you've been driving up this hill forever. You've been covering soccer for a long time and have dealt with indifferent Americans. Do you see that starting to turn around?
I wouldn't say turn around. I see incremental progress, though. I think we play more attractively and offensively than we did under Bradley and Arena. But technically, we still have a long way to go to catch up to the Ghanas of the world.
So, do you think, you know, Klinsmann had this thing? I wrote a comment about this a while back. He had this interview where he said, you know, America is too focused on coaches anyway. We're too focused on a coach telling people what to do. Like, basically, another example of him having this global European viewpoint. And what did he get from that? He got Michael, I don't know if you saw this, got Michael Wilbon saying, go back to Germany. Literally, leave our country if you don't want to do things the way that we do them. Does he have enough leeway? Like, when do people start, when do we start getting upset and being like, yeah, Wilbon's right, go back to America, maybe if Donovan's name were Klauski, that's Polish, sorry, if it were Kleinsmann or something, you know what I mean? Like, you know, if there were, does he have enough rope to ignore all of that?
No, I think if we were to go 3 and out and give up 12 goals and score 1 or 2, I think there'll be a clamor. For a change, but let's see how we play. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt because I do like the fact that he's being more open and honest with the press than either of his predecessors.
So, but doesn't that go kind of against the notion that the reason he probably felt comfortable going with some of the younger guys and not going with Donovan is not just because, you know, he's got this tough draw, but he supposedly had these extra 4 years. If they crap out, even though this is the general understanding, since we got that draw, is that the U.S. is in trouble. Since we got that, since then, do you think if we really crap out, there's the combination of the Donovan decision and that could put him in serious trouble?
Yeah, I think I certainly think that all through the World Cup, when America screws up, people will be quick to use the Donovan decision as a stick to beat him. But I think I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. You know, if we play smart and tactically intelligent soccer, then make him surprise a couple of people. I mean, all it's going to take, the expectations are so low that if we tie Ghana and maybe, you know, tie Portugal, that's 2 points. We're not going to get into the next round with 2 points, but we show that there's something there.
Well, Germany's getting everybody hurt now, right? I guess everyone, I'm sure that they'll be able to wipe them out. I'm sure I guess that's my point, is that like...
Well, on paper, Germany and Portugal should beat us by 3 or 4 goals.
Right,
but,
right.
There are countless examples of, including back, when America played Portugal and the quote, golden generation of Portugal, led by Luis Figo, they lost. So, I mean, we beat them 3-2. So it's possible. The news out of Spain that Ronaldo is struggling, makes my heart sore. Who knows? Without Ronaldo, they're beatable. Yeah. I think.
So, but it does feel like they got to beat Ghana to have any chance. I feel like they got to get the 3 points out of Ghana, right?
They got to beat Ghana, and I don't even know if Ghana, is the tragic figure from the last World Cup. I don't know if you remember.
Of course, of course.
The whole, yes, of course. So
the hand,
so,
the cheating,
yes,
in the hand.
Yes. Suarez using his hands to block.
See,
the
I study
shot.
Now. I know this stuff now. I wouldn't have known this for
you.
You
do?
I'm telling you, I know this
stuff.
Okay,
what's the name of the guy who took the shot?
Oh, okay, I don't know that much.
No, but at any rate, which reminds me, I think he's a fantastic player, Suarez, but what a creep! I mean, I remember him blubbering when he was called for when he was thrown out of the game, and then. Then Ghana took the penalty and missed it, and he came running back on the field, jumping and hugging. And, it's very hard for me watching the EPL as I do every week not to remember, what a dick he was. Is that word allowed, by the way, on the show?
Oh, for God's sake. Dick is the nicest thing anyone said on this podcast for a week.
Fine. Okay.
Before we get into the rest of the World Cup, I actually just want to ask you, because I said you've been my soccer awk. Of wisdom for so long, is it just as an American fan, is it, everyone keeps talking about how NBC is doing such a great job of telecasting and, mm-hmm. and like I have friends in England that say you guys are so lucky with the coverage you guys have of the EPL. Do you think like is this as good a time as it's been to be an American fan of soccer? Is it forget how the US team is going or how whether as a collective. We're moving more in soccer's direction. It does feel like, I imagine you probably, like having to find places to watch games 15, 20 years ago compared to now, it's much like it'd be a million times easier.
Right. Well, I mean, it's a great time to be a fan of soccer. I don't know if it's, a golden period of American soccer yet, but if you want to see the highest level of the game, you have a smorgasbord of opportunities, all week, which is something that, you don't even have an England. I just got back from England covering the. I have to get this in, of course. My team, Arsenal.
I can't believe it took this long. I really am amazed.
They broke a 9-year drought by winning a trophy. they did it, of course, the hard way. But when you're an Arsenal fan, you start drinking early in the morning. So I was ready.
And also on game days.
Yes. But I mean, it's very much like where you come from down south, mm-hmm. where you tailgate from 9 o'clock till kickoff on college football Saturdays.
Yes.
So, my point though about Arsenal is that I could hardly see any other games on the telly, as we call it over there. While my friends are emailing me about the other 9 games from that they've been watching, so in the States, so it's really a luxury, and I couldn't be more thrilled about it. I don't know if my wife would agree, but nonetheless,
So are you going? Are you going to the World Cup? You're going.
I'm going. I am going. I'm not working the World Cup.
You're off duty.
Well, no, I'm never off duty.
Of course, who is?
But I am not covering the games as much as. I'm going down for 10 days with some friends, and I will be writing a diary about my misadventures in the town I'm staying in, Salvador, which is on, it's called Little Rio. It's on the beach, and it's got a carnival-like atmosphere. What could possibly go wrong? Anyway, there are three.
Don't get arrested.
I got very lucky in the lottery. I went through it just like every other shitball, right. I got 3 great games: Holland, Spain, a repeat of last year's final; Germany, Portugal, which is going to be the game to see who comes in number one in the U.S. group; and then France and Switzerland. Not a bad game. I, being an Arsenal fan, of course, I follow lots of French players. So that worked out very nicely.
Those
but
are
I've given up
games.
Any. What's that? Yeah,
those are terrific.
They're very good
games. I would have been excited to see South Korea, Algeria. And
I would have happily sold you my ticket to that game, at about 5 times face value. Right. But ideally would love to see the United States, and I would love to maybe catch an England game, but travel is out of the question. The travel in Brazil is not worth the Herculean effort. So so I'll be at the World Cup for 10 days, drinking it in, so to speak. And then I'll come back and drink it in, stateside, hopefully. So
when you watch the
cover the World Cup. What's that?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, I've done it. '94, I covered the World Cup, and being on Deadline all the time was not my idea of fun. So I've decided to take it easy. Yeah.
So you'll just be in one spot the whole time, though.
One spot. Yes. Okay. And I've already started training by having at least two cup arenas every day over the last week, and I think I'll be ready.
Do you? I'm curious. Just looking over the field, the general consensus seems to be that Brazil, just being at home and having just done so well in the Confederation Cup, see another thing I know, David, is
what a name dripper.
I know, it's unbelievable. I'm great because Spain had won so many tournaments in a row before then that it looked. See, I'm telling you, you would be amazed considering the conversations that we used to have about soccer, or you would have about soccer, and I would stare at you blankly. I'm really just trying to show off to you that I know anything. I've really been studying.
Well, I'm in awe. I mean, you asked me who this guy Peely was when we first met.
That's true. Now, I want to get one before I get into any more tournament stuff for you. Of course, you famously covered Pele when they were with the Cosmos. How excited are you to have that, have you the pseudo Cosmos team back or whatever it is? And B, can you give us one brief Pele anecdote from the time that you covered him?
Okay. First off,
a legal one. Go ahead. Go illegal. Legal's better.
No. I mean, I held Pelé secrets for 30 years, and then I decided to let the world in on a couple of them when they were doing that movie Once in a Lifetime. But they didn't make it into the final cut. The big joke with Pelé and me when I was following him around for a year from city to city because he wanted to write a book on his experience in America. Back then I was covering the team for the New York Daily News, but I also took a leave to go around the world with him. And whenever he would see me late at night, he was always, he always had female company. And I remember one night in Toronto, I believe it was, when I went up to my room at 1 o'clock in the morning and doors opened and there was Pelé with a blonde on each arm, and I think they were twins. Mm-hmm. And he looks at me and he goes, "Not for the book, my friend, not for the book." And I would say he repeated that anecdote no less than a dozen times during the course of the year, including at Studio 54, where I saw him hobnobbing with a naked Grace Jones who rode through the club on a white horse. That's an indelible memory.
Yeah, and she wouldn't stopped, forget that.
Yeah, she stopped, got off the horse, and introduced herself to Pelé. So that's when I realized he's a big deal.
Yeah.
No naked woman has ever stopped to introduce themselves to me.
Jones has done it to me, but not naked. So,
yeah,
she was on a mule rather than a horse. So it was.
So
it didn't
30
have the same
years
romance.
Later, 30 years later, they're still using Pelé as the hood ornament for the Cosmos, and I find it kind of sad that they can't just start fresh with their own identity, and they're doing it. From to their credit, I guess they're doing it from instead of the top down, from the ground up. And they're like a good little second division club. Whether they gain any traction in New York or nationally remains to be seen. I'm obviously fond of the name Cosmos, and I hope they don't tarnish it. That's all.
All right, so let's go. Okay, so let's go. We're gonna get some predictions out of you. Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
We're gonna go group by group. We're gonna. And I know the world has been waiting So I'm for my predictions. So I'm gonna give them as well as we go along. And if you disagree, I'm just gonna get. I'm because I've studied so much. I'm just gonna.
What are yours based on? The cutest guys or what?
yes, the kits, of course. Okay. I've actually been doing them off both the national anthem and the team nickname.
Okay.
Is a good idea, and also how well the country's politics mesh with my own. So.
How would you describe your politics?
I don't want to go over the top, but I'll say I'm probably closest to North Korea, which isn't here. I'm actually so close to North Korea's politics, I will be reporting that they win this World Cup. That is actually how close I am to North Korea's politics. All right. Also, Iran, because there are no gay people in my house. So that's another one. Okay. So Group A, Brazil, Croatia, Mexico, Cameroon. First place, second place.
You or me?
You. I will. You go first, and then I will respond.
Mine will be just a stunning surprise. Brazil, first place. Mexico second. By the way, I'm pissed off that Klinsmann allowed Mexico to make their way into the World Cup. Why didn't we take our foot off the gas and not sort of just, you know, usher them past the velvet ropes by beating the teams that they were tied with. I hope it doesn't end up biting us down the road, but
I like the idea of this group potentially being Brazil, Croatia, Cameroon, and like Panama. Like that would have been so much more fun, right? Very annoying. I discussed this with George Carisha, your old assistant,
yes.
On a podcast earlier this week, and it's very frustrating. I understand why they do it because of geography, but just that idea that freaking Mexico gets in only by our largesse, and they get this spot that, I'll put it this way, if it would have fallen the U.S.'s way, and the U.S. is in this Group A instead of Mexico, do you think the USA would have advanced?
No. No. Although Mexico has been playing like rubbish, the last
That's
year.
That's what I'm saying. So you think Croatia would have advanced over the? I'm saying if the United States.
Yes, I do think. Yes, I think Croatia. But I think Mexico is due. They've got a lot of talent, and so it's quite possible that they will get it together and beat Cameroon and Croatia. So. But all I can think of is that so we helped Mexico, even though they threw bags of urine at our best players. I guess Klinsmann he doesn't have the institutional memory that the rest of us do.
Yeah, well, you still have to have a pretty small institutional memory not to even remember stories of urine. But my prediction, I think Croatia's getting out of here. In fact, if you want my fun prediction, I think, because, Brazil is kind of known for, like, they may mess up and give up, like, an early. I could see them drawing with Croatia and freaking everybody out and then wiping everybody else out. So I think Brazil's first, and I think Croatia is second, because fuck Mexico. I don't mean as a country. I mean as a team. Another thing I love about the World Cup is I can say, you know, it's the idea with Ghana. Like, Ghana is our big rival, even though they're a country that, in any other aspect, we'd totally be rooting for. but like,
right,
as a country,
exactly.
The idea that, like, our rival is Ghana. So, okay, so I'm going, so screw Mexico, except for the people of Mexico, who seem like very nice people.
You got to admit, Croatia has the ugliest kit in the whole tournament. The tablecloth look is just, I don't get it.
Yeah, they're like 70s. Anyway, okay. Group E, Spain, Netherlands, Chile, and the about to get stomped a lot, Australia.
Yeah, well, I should say that if you remember my Deadspin columns, I have been, I don't want to be called up for treason, I am a fan of Spain to win everything, starting in 1982 when my dad took me to the World Cup in Spain, and I fell in love with the country, and so I am thrilled that the last 10 years Spain has been the dominant team in the world. And I think there's some incentive. If Spain was to win this World Cup, I think they could lay claim to being the best team ever internationally, because they won the 2006 Euro Championships, they won the 2010 World Cup, and then they won the 2012 Euro Championships. Not to mention the Champions League final was contested between two Spanish teams, albeit both with players of other nationalities. But so I'm going with Spain, not only to top the group, spoiler alert, but to win the whole thing. Then, I was knee jerk choice would be the Netherlands, but I'm going with Chile, because the Netherlands are always, this fascinating mm-hmm. soap opera where they tend to implode early on, and they have a lot of they've got some massive, they've got a lot of talent, but they also have some massive egos, and of course the balding, diving, cheat Arjen Robben, who I could never root for. So Spain and Chile are my choices.
All right. This is another thing I love about the World Cup. These national teams' sensibilities and personalities are so kind of secured that the national team can have that reputation that Holland has, or in a lot of other teams, or like Greece, for example, over a span of 40 years.
Yeah, right, exactly.
It speaks well to that notion that it really does explain the world.
Right. Will Germany ever be anything other than efficient and ruthless, for instance? I mean, that's a tag that they'll wear forever. So you're going with what?
I'm going with Spain and the Netherlands. I'm going with Spain and the Netherlands.
Why the Netherlands? Because you just think that they have the studs?
I think that, like, what they'll do is they'll lose that first game, and everyone will freak out, and I know that Chile's a little bit more fun. Everybody's fun team.
Yeah.
But I like I like the Netherlands. So I'm starting to realize too that, like, inevitably the more we get into this, my knowledge gaps will start to fall. I'll be a little bit like when Obama does the bracket with Andy Katz every year, where we'll get like Katz will ask a first question and my handlers will be giving me my talking points. So I'll have an answer for that one. But then when he does like a little bit of follow up, I'll be like, yes, Andy, that's right, and then I'll move over to the next one. So when that happens, know that I'm doing my Obama.
So I'm in the am I in the role of Andy Katz here?
No, you're in the role of you're more of a Vital.
Okay, all right. Let me ask you: Do you think it's fair to think the World Cup in any way reminds you of March Madness?
I think the only way it really would in that much would be, I think it does when it gets to the round of 16. A little bit, but also all those round of 16 games would have to be happening at once. Like to me, the more fun, the only time it's the closest to the tournament is actually in the third set of games when both teams are playing at once. Then it has that feel, because it feels like it's like that first day of the NFL season. Well, all of a sudden, just like holy shit! I've been waiting so long for this to happen, and now everything is happening at once. Like, I feel like one of the nice things about the World Cup is, at least for the first two rounds through the groups, you actually can just sit and watch one game at a time. To me, that's one of the key aspects of the tournament, is there's just so many things happening at once. The thing that I like about the World Cup, in addition to the soccer, of course, is the fact that at that moment, even though say Iran Nigeria is not an apparently compelling game, it's the only game going on at the time, and it still means something. So that's very exciting.
That's right. Okay. Right.
So
but you can't find any. But where are the Cleveland States and Gonzagas and where are they going to come from? I think in the World Cup, unfortunately, the cream will rise, and it'll be. I'll be surprised if anybody outside the top six cracks the Final Four. But anyway,
Yeah, but when it happens, it's because I feel like also another thing about this too is there aren't a lot of obvious. Like I feel like other than maybe Australia, there's not like an obvious. Oh, this is a one crushing a 16 seed. Like one of the fun of soccer is that like you know it it feels like if everything falls right, someone can you know just barely stave them off for 88 minutes and then. Do a crazy run at the end and take it. So that's
although I wouldn't. I hope you're not betting your newborn's education on Algeria or Iran. I don't think
I'm betting on the future of Iran as a world power, but not necessarily as a soccer power.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Group C: Colombia, Greece, Cote d'Ivoire, and Japan. I find myself of all the teams. I don't know why. I think it's because Greece is so boring and Colombia has this history. I find myself really getting into Japan and Cote d'Ivoire. They're like the teams you find little teams that your countries you find yourself rooting for. Those are my teams.
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, Ivory Coast has the great Didier Drogba, you know, who used to play for Chelsea and has the probably the most famous dreadlocks in the World Cup. And I mean, he's getting on, but he still can be a force. And they also have one of the two or three most dominant players in England's league, with the great name Yaya Toure, who bosses the midfield. So I think Ivory Coast can get out, and I will go with Colombia as my second choice. I've always been sentimental about Colombia since the tragedy of 94, right, when Pelé picked them to win the whole cup.
Yes, yes.
And we know what happened.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. I'm going with, I'm leaving Colombia out. I can never say his name. Falcao. How do you say his name? The guy that's hurt.
Falcao. Right?
I know, so I'm saying. Yeah. The fact that he's out, leaving them out because of that. So,
okay. What is it that you like about Japan?
They're fun. They're a little bit more.
Yeah, they're
exciting.
Fun.
They're fun.
They're fast and they're fast and they're organized. It's possible. Japan could be a surprise, I would say.
I'm picking Japan to win this group, in fact. And Cote d'Ivoire to go second.
Okay. All right. Bold. Very bold.
That's my bold.
Very bold.
Okay. Okay. Group D: Uruguay, Costa Rica, England, and Azuri. Which I have a hat, by the way. I actually got a Azuri hat. So I'm.
Are you part Italian? Why are you wearing?
I actually got. So it's funny. One of my little compulsions that I have is I have a big, huge collection of hats. I actually have. So I have hats. You'll like this.
Most of them say Illinois on them, though.
That's
right.
True. And Cardinals, yes, but not now because I'm so excited for the World Cup. Here are the hats I have. I have an Argentina hat that I'm actually wearing right now. I got that when I was in Argentina. If you remember, I even went to the Boca Juniors stadium.
I
got you a scarf that I still have not given you, but is actually in my attic. I still have it. It's still waiting for you.
Well, if they win the World Cup, it'll be worth more. So
that's true. I have a Russian soccer hat from there. I have the Three Lions.
Yeah,
I have the Three Lions. I have a Japan hat. I have a U.S. hat, and I have an Azuri hat. And supposedly a Spain hat's coming. So I'm fully prepared. I'm fully prepared with my sartorial choices. So when I look at this group...
You have three of the four...
I don't have Uruguay.
Two of the hats.
Two of the hats. And I don't... Right. Costa Rica, little known fact, there are no hats in the country. They just don't have them. They just don't have any hats.
Right.
So the line national team, they just don't allow them in the country. It's weird. I don't know why they do that. Okay, so it's funny because one of the things for me, one of the great enjoyments I get of every World Cup is the cycle of self-loathing among England fans. And it's weird because this team seems actually kind of young and exciting, and it feels like people are like cautiously getting excited about them in their kind of understated way. And which makes you feel like they're gonna just this is an entirely new way for them to crap out, and they're gonna crap out.
Yeah, I mean there have been so many false dawns in over the years in England. I like to say England is England is where hope goes to die, because they on paper they always look like they've got a shot, but they continually cave to the insane pressure of their tabloids and fans. I don't know if they're going to even get out of this group, to be honest. I've been agonizing about it. I think in the end, I'll say that they squeak through, but it might not happen, actually, now that I think about it, because Uruguay, if Suarez is fit, I think will come in first, and then it's England versus Italy, and you gotta like the Italians' chances, because traditionally they know how to play at this level, which is essentially 10 guys behind the ball and wait for a mistake and counter and score one goal and then bunker in again. So England might not make it. Right.
I'm going with I can't go with Italy because there have been no immediate match fixing scandals involving Italy, and therefore I do not think they'll be able to rise up in protests of the punishment for the things that they
did.
But
how can you of all people would appreciate a guy like Balotelli, right?
Of course. I'm with we have similar hairstyles and similar demeanors.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Exactly.
So we're there,
and you've blown up your bathroom. Yeah, you've blown up your bathroom at times. So I could see it. But so you're going with
I'm going England and Italy. I'm going England winning the group and Italy
England.
Missing. I'm buying in.
You're buying in. Okay. Buying in. What's going to happen? You don't put much faith in Luis Suarez. Never mind, his cannibalistic tendencies or anything else. On, as a player, he's a game changer, and that's why I don't see how you can count them out. But you just did. So
that's a
congratulations.
Fair point. That's a fair point. And,
We'll see.
We've got to. I'm sorry. That's a good question, Andy. We've got to move on. okay. To groupie, we've got Switzerland, Ecuador, France, and Honduras. Now, one of my favorite things about this, the same woman has cut my hair. It's fine. My hair is incredibly long right now because the same woman has cut my hair in Brooklyn for 12 years. And I haven't been back in New York for a while, so because I've had a lot going on here, so I haven't been able to get back to New York. I'm not going to be back till the end of July. By the way, I hope we can go out and drink. Will you be around end of July?
Yes, okay, I will good. Be. Okay. I'll stay around just to drink with you.
Thank you. And so I will be back at the end of July. So the same woman that's cut my hair for 12 years, she is Ukrainian. We actually have talked about the Ukrainian team for a very every single time we go in. I know just enough about the Ukrainian soccer team, not anything about the political situation, but I totally got the soccer team down. And so,
by the way, they're not in. Just so you know, I don't want you to waste your time. They're not in the World Cup. You realize that?
I know that, but the reason they're not in the World Cup is because they lost to France in that final playoff. And I find myself fascinated because France was that close. And this is one of the things I kind of enjoy and kind of drives me crazy about the World Cup is France was that close to Ukraine taking their spot in the World Cup, and now here they are with what could arguably be claimed to be the easiest draw in the entire World Cup. I imagine if Ukraine ends up winning that on aggregate. See, another soccer term I know, Hershey. Aren't you proud? if they end up winning that on aggregate, that's Ukraine in this group, and then Honduras could win, for crying out loud. So to me, the point is it's so random and weird when it turns that way because Switzerland is not one of the top eight, but still got in those top eight seeds.
It feels
strange that of all the teams in this entire tournament, the one with the easiest draw is the one that just barely got in.
Right. Well, Uruguay just barely got in too. I mean, they had to qualify through a playoff against Jordan. But you're right. However, there is some karma at work because I just read that France's big attacking star Franck Ribéry will be missing the World Cup through injury. It has nothing to do with how ugly he is, apparently. It's just that he's not fit, and that's a big blow to them.
I do think someone like that is maybe Brazil is a country full of beautiful people that I feel like maybe there is in fact a threshold to where if you are under a certain level of attractiveness, you're not allowed to go in Brazil.
That's right. Yeah.
So, but you made it. You're in. I don't know. I guess you're not in the country yet. But
no, yeah, and also, you know, there's special dispensation for mustaches.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, is there?
Yeah.
Oh, is there?
Right.
Okay, so Groupie, who do you like? France is obviously the favorite. Who do you see coming in second?
Well, you know, I'd like to say Ecuador because a friend of mine is Ecuadorian and runs a very good restaurant where he doesn't charge me for drinks, but I know. So I'll say Ecuador. I think Switzerland is overrated. You know, they have a bunch of good young players who are not really from Switzerland, but you know, have dual citizenship. So they could surprise, but I'm going with France and Ecuador.
France and Ecuador. I'm going with France and Switzerland. I'm going with France and Switzerland because okay. I have never been to that restaurant.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Group F. I guess this would be another example of the top eight seeds. This seems to be the one with the easiest round for the favorites. It's
yes.
Argentina. Argentina, Bosnia Herzegovina, which is their first. It's their first World Cup. See. Knowledge. Iran,
yeah.
Which ironically enough is actually all the players are gay. It's just weird. They just find them and they put them on the soccer team.
Right.
And then Nigeria. So Argentina obviously the favorite. Who do you like to get second?
I would say Bosnia and Herzegovina on the strength of their two forwards, Edin Dzeko from Manchester City. And I forget the name of the other guy, but he's good.
Yeah.
Anyway, Dzeko could conceivably end up as one of the top scorers in the tournament if Bosnia and Herzegovina go another round. So, yeah, Argentina is loaded, obviously. I would, you know, there's a theory that if Messi has a big World Cup, which he never has had, that they will win the whole thing. My feeling is that even if Messi has a mediocre World Cup, they could win the whole thing. They're stacked everywhere, except they have a goalkeeper who is not even not even a starter at his club team in France, and their defense is a bit dodgy. But I think there'll be a lot of 4-2 games.
Okay, that's more fun.
Yeah.
All right. Good.
Yeah.
Well, then all right. So I like Argentina and Nigeria. Because we haven't
Nigeria,
had a single
wow.
African team come out. And I feel like there's always one.
Feels there like there's should be one. I mean, yeah. Okay.
There's always one, and we haven't picked one yet. And
right.
Though
okay.
It's funny, going into Group G, you know, if you were, let's just say you were a fan of Ghana, a Ghanan, if you will.
Yeah.
And
a Ghanaian. Isn't it Ghanaian?
I think the term is actually Pennsylvanian. It's just weird. I don't know why they just call them a Pennsylvania. It has nothing.
Right.
There's not even a Pennsylvania there. It's just one of those weird things, like the way that Brazil speaks Portuguese. They just call people from Ghana Pennsylvania. I don't know why they do that. If I were a fan of Ghana, I would have to look. If I were just casual, you know, a casual fan, I feel like everything is falling in my way. Germany. Has having this problem of injuries. They've had all these injuries. And they've had another one. They had another one last week. You got Portugal with Ronaldo having all of his problems. You have the U.S., which you know from the outside we're all freaked out about the team because of the Donovan thing. But from the they seem okay on the inside. But I guess everybody always feels okay on the inside unless they're France. So it's weird to think one of the main reasons this is the group of death is not so much that it's just that it has Germany and Portugal at the top, but the other two teams are really good too. Like not really good, but like no one is Australia or Honduras is probably the best way to put it. So like, I feel like I'll put it this way. If a team gets a result in that Ghana USA match, if it's not a tie and they get a result, do you think that team could, like, it feels like, like, that game is so important for whoever wins.
No, I don't.
You don't. You
I
think
don't.
Germany and Portugal, no matter what, are so much better.
I think, I just can't see it unless, as I said at the top, Ronaldo is struggling from injury. I can't see it. I mean, and Germany, with all their injuries, is still, I think, one of the two or three deepest teams around. So I wouldn't put too much stock in that.
Okay, no debate here.
Feeling. Now, my feeling is that Ghana and the United States will tie, and that will just about decide the group. Yeah,
that'll do it. That'll do it. Okay, well, let's root for. Do you think the U.S. will, like, because both those teams? I feel like that game might be really fun. just because both those teams are going to want to avoid a tie so badly.
Yes, that's one of my fears about the first round, since I'm going, is there'll be a lot of cagey chess matches.
Right,
you know,
right.
A lot of teams will be loath to press, to pour forward in attack, because they'll be exposed at the back. I don't think that'll be the case with Ghana and the United States. Although Klinsmann, I guess, saw against Turkey that his beloved diamond formation might not work. In other words, he needs, I think, to have a very solid defensive midfield, probably two guys screening the back four, rather than more of an attacking midfield. So we'll see. But Ghana is, the United States could beat Ghana because Ghana is going to attack, and there'll be times when they'll be caught short. The question is, who is going to take advantage of that for the United States? Not Altidore, from what I've seen, even though he runs the socks off. And maybe Dempsey, we'll see. But I worry about where the goals are going to come from.
All right, well, I see the path, my friend. And my path is a win over Ghana, hanging on for a tie against Portugal. Meanwhile, Germany they beat Portugal and they wipe out Ghana, and everybody takes a nap in that third game. And
the
U.S.
Sure.
gets the tie. And the U.S. gets the tie.
Right.
That's the path.
Yep.
That's the path.
That's the clueless scenario.
Yes.
I respect that.
Of course.
Yeah, okay.
Those are my favorite scenarios.
So
you have Germany first and Portugal second?
I do have that,
okay.
Yes.
Are
you going to put any money on the United States?
How
about 20 bucks?
I'll bet you
20 bucks they don't get out of the group.
I feel like I got to get some odds on that. Like, you got to give me something on that.
I'll give you 3 to 2.
I'll tell you what. I'll put it this way. If the U.S. does not make it, I have to buy you 3 beers the next time I see you. If the U.S. does make it, you have to buy me as many beers as I can make it through the evening. Is that a deal?
So that would be 2 beers. Yeah, we got it.
Someone's
okay.
Forgotten
all right,
what it's
deal.
Like to drink with me.
That's a deal.
All right.
That's a deal. It's
a deal.
First bet. Deal. This is the first bet I've ever made over the air, so let's do it.
So then they can
okay?
totally hold us to it. They can totally hold us
is
to it.
Is it illegal? I can't remember. Okay.
It's not a way. I think it probably is. We're going to go to jail.
But
all right, and Group H, everybody's fun, cute, hot pick. Belgium, Algeria, Russia, and the Korea Republic, which, because I am a fan of North Korea, I'm just going to say is North Korea, and we'll, of course, be getting out of this group and all future groups, because there has always been a war in North Korea. All right, so who do you like getting out of this?
Well, Belgium is the hipster darling. I mean,
yes,
you know, on paper, they look as one of the top 4 or 5 teams in the world. But they're young, they're callow, they'll definitely go through, but I don't see them steamrolling anybody. They would certainly, be my choice to top the group, because like everyone else, I'm a total lemming. Mm-hmm.
Making us all lemmings. That's why we're just
yes,
like everybody else.
Then I will go with Russia, even though, they're eminently mediocre. They have a very savvy and battle-tested coach in Gus Hiddink, who took South Korea to the Final Four when they hosted the World Cup in 2002. So those are my picks.
All right. I also like Belgium and Russia, so we are on the same page.
Okay. All right.
And you have Spain winning the whole thing, to be clear.
I do. I have Spain beating Germany to win the whole thing, which is, you know, completely contrarian, since no European team has ever won on South American soil.
Yes, well, for what it's worth.
Who do you have?
I got Brazil. I got Brazil winning the whole thing. I like the party.
Yeah.
I like
Mr.
The party.
Chalk. All
Mr.
Right.
Chalk, exactly.
Do you have who do you have them beating? Argentina?
I can never figure out.
I'll
have you know, I'm looking at the wall chart right now. Actually, Hershey, give me some. I have a wall chart on my wall right below my Cardinals calendar and right to the left
really?
Of my podcast calendar. I have an actual FIFA World Cup Brazil wall chart. I'm looking at it this very second, but it's always hard to track because of course, once they get out into the rounds of 16, they mix everything up. Like, it's not,
Yeah.
it's not B against A anymore and C against D
That's
anymore.
right.
So it's hard for me to follow there. But we'll go with, looking at it now, yeah, let's say Argentina. Sure.
That would be a hell of a final.
That would be
I mean,
fun.
They,
that
two,
would be super fun.
Two teams who hate each other and are the most flamboyant.
Yes, that would be very fun
in the world. Yeah,
that would be very fun.
So yeah, okay, good.
And so when are you back? You're just going for those first,
I'm back,
and then you're coming back.
The 21st. I'm leaving the 11th and coming back 10 days or 11 days later. So I'm back for the second round. Yeah, you'll be buying me beers as soon as I get back.
Of course,
and,
of course.
The United States is, you know, safely ensconced in their American homes. What?
No. When they are in the midst of continuing to celebrate.
I'll be the first to eat my Spain hat.
Wow. All right, David, thank you, first off, for doing this. I mean, we were a little long, but I was having so much fun that thank you for doing this. And I will be in New York at the end of July, so please come drink with me.
Looking forward to it.
And
let me just say this. I feel like my whole life has not been wasted in that you have, you know, actual knowledge. I mean, not a lot, but you have the rudimentary knowledge of someone who knows a little bit about the World Cup.
I know, I'm getting there. In four years, you're going to be hosting your podcast,
yep,
being like, "Will, who's going to win the World Cup?" And I'll be like, "Oh, David, I deign. You shall dip your bung into my knowledge vat, and I shall bring it."
I'm never dipping my bung in yes, with you. Don't
worry. Listen,
okay?
I might not know soccer, but we will always know each other in the biblical sense.
That's very sweet and profound. And on that note, I think
all
I'm
right.
going to cheer
And my last question, by the way, you of course came last year to Athens to watch LSU play Georgia. I'd like to formally, in front of you and God in the world,
and
invite you again. You name the day. We will have. I have season tickets. You say the word. I would love to make it a yearly tradition to have David Hershey in my home.
Okay, well, it all depends on how our bet goes.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
I may not want to be seen in Athens.
Duly noted.
All right.
Thanks, man. By all means, have a great time. Have a safe trip. Be safe.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks for having me on, Will.
Of course. Bye-bye. Hey, David Hershey. God, I love that guy. Anyway, David Hershey's not on Twitter because he is a intelligent man of letters, not a man of wasting his time on the internet like the rest of us idiots. But you can find his work on ESPN, on the Kicking and Screaming blog on ESPN FC. And you can also go buy every good sports book at HarperCollins, excluding God Save the Fan, of course. Please go buy them. He is the best. Anyway, also the best is the World Cup, as I segue into my close for the podcast. It starts tomorrow. Brazil versus Croatia at last. These long-time neighboring warring nations will face off on the pitch to settle their differences once and for all. It's the only game on Thursday. Friday has Mexico against Cameroon, Spain against the Netherlands, Chile against Australia. So it begins. The U.S., of course, won't play until Monday. I should have a podcast previewing that matchup, so that will be really fun. But mostly, enjoy the World Cup. It's the summer. It's really fun. It happens only once every 4 years. So, have a great time. This is the Willie's Experience Podcast. The music is by the Sundogs. Please rate and review us on iTunes. I'll be back on Monday previewing that USA match, probably, or looking at the NBA playoffs. I guess those are going on this week, too, and the NHL Stanley Cup. But World Cup fever. Hope you enjoyed World Cup week. Check out Howler, check out American Soccer Now, check out World Soccer Talk, check out the Total Soccer Show. There's all so much great soccer stuff out there that I hope I could contribute in a small way with my three shows this week. And enjoy the World Cup. Have a wonderful week, Thursday, Friday. It's the summer. Weekends can go like 6 days in the summer. So anyway, have a wonderful weekend. I'll talk to you on Monday when the U.S. plays. Be safe out there.